for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarn in circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. National Talk Black is the program. You can give us a call on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. We come to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So have you saying yarn up strong. Like I said, we're going across the nation. A voice for our people, so do utilise it. Talk about all topics that you want to talk about. All is here on this daily program, National Talk Black. And like I said, have you saying yarn up strong with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host doing your ship into the future, which is 12 noon here in Queensland, our one-hour program, so do add to the conversation. Now, giving a voice to people with intellectual disabilities, we're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Ivor Stanovid, and work is very much focused on contributing to bettering the lives of people living with disability. On the line, we have Professor Ivor. Good morning. How are you, Professor?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
I am based in Sydney. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really happy that this topic is receiving such an attention.
Well, very important conversation. I mean, everyone should have a voice. And do you feel there is a gap in regards to intellectual disabilities having a voice?
Yes, I definitely feel that there is a huge gap, and that goes across the lifespan for people with intellectual disability, and especially those that have high support needs. And I'm really excited that I'm currently collaborating with New South Wales Department of Education on a project that is focusing on giving voice, particularly to the students, about their educational experience. And the fact that we have engaged at this trial 24 schools with a vision of upscaling it to all schools in New South Wales is just brilliant.
Part of the punts, but other voices been out in the wilderness, so to speak. We're not hearing from people with disability. There should be a lot more work. Can the government do more?
Oh, government can definitely do more, but so can society. I think a lot of it is about the attitude. There are still people who underestimate people with intellectual disabilities and think that they cannot be, you know, productive citizens, that they cannot have relationships, that they cannot be good parents, etc., etc. So I think a lot of barriers are in such negative attitudes.
And when we're talking about the 21st century, we're talking about the tools that are available, social media. That would be a fantastic aid, would it not?
Absolutely. Social media, we know that can definitely help to increase social inclusion for this population. We just finished a study in which we collected data showing that especially using mobile devices can increase social inclusion for people with intellectual disability. But there are, of course, barriers as well. First of all, I would highlight is that people with intellectual disability very often are poor, live in poverty, and cannot afford internet access. And I really believe that having an access to internet should be nowadays the basic right for every citizen, and it shouldn't be about
exactly
whether we can afford it or not. And I think COVID context showed it brilliantly, didn't it? Not that I'm happy for COVID, but it really proved that this access is absolutely essential. So that's one of the barriers that I would talk about. They often would also need one-to-one instruction, probably in more detail
yes.
than somebody without intellectual disability, and I think that would be that should be also covered by their NDIS.
Well, communication with another human being or with the world, it's empowering to individual, and it should be the same for people with disabilities, yes?
Absolutely, Trevor. I could not agree more.
And in regard to the, life itself and all aspects of life, finance, well, even sexual education, parenting, all the above, that's got to be at the table as well in regarding a voice as such, advocating for access to the internet, all the above.
Absolutely, and mentioning sexuality and parenting, there is a big gap in education, school education for students with intellectual disability and autism. We have just finalized a study that in which we talked with students in high schools in New South Wales and also their teachers and parents, and it really shows the gaps in topics that are taught to people with intellectual disability. Sometimes the topics of domestic violence and how to recognize that there might be a case of abuse are not mentioned, and yet we know from statistics that people with intellectual disability are at least four times more likely to experience abuse and sexual abuse in their lives.
Yes, and I suppose to all humans, especially without disability, is to do their bit as well, show a bit of concern and kindness and thought and help. The best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. It's very important that that's done in a kind of a empathizing way, not feeling sympathy for somebody.
Sure, exactly.
Just
treating them like normal human beings is what we're saying.
Exactly that. That's absolutely good.
Look, a very important conversation. And look, thank you for sharing. And us having a conversation here on National Radio, Indigenous Radio, well, that's a voice we're giving to our people with intellectual disability and having that conversation. So I thank you very much. And big shout out to all our mob out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Have a lovely day.
You too, Professor Ivor. Thank you. A beautiful yarn there with Professor Ivor Stanovat, and she's very, how you say, passionate about contributing to better the lives of people with living with disability, and we can all do our bit as well in regarding closing that gap. And black people always talk about gaps, but there's another gap. We need to close gaps. We are all equal, are we not? Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yana with a baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from McCurry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. Have your say, you mob. We'll go to BC, Brother Barry Cedric with Where You From, My Brother, Too Deadly.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me, you call a Kungai. From Yoruba, where my people reside. All us Aboriginal people are divided into 500 different tribes, whom the white man tried to conquer when he first come here to divide. And we'll stay right here until we die.
place to hunt and roam. Reserve for the past and present, 'cause it's our Aboriginal spiritual home. But you may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more. You've lived a lie. Say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Hey, me you call a Pungai, from Yarraba where my people reside. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother?
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yeah, Two Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, text a brother, 045-714-0550. Otherwise, their Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, we got the segment of Which Way Yarning, proudly brought to you by Pecone, Brinsmead, Edmonton, and Brinsmead, Edmonton, IGA. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipra, and then promoting healthy living, healthy lifestyle for our young students who come here and do work experience and school-based traineeship. And the Edmonton Police are going to catch up now and have a yarn with Sister Senior Nicole O'Rourke, and she brought her bodyguard, Clint, Constable Clint. Good morning to you both. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Clint, you're right there? Good. Ladies first, we'll start with you, Senior Nicole O'Rourke. So your second yarn with me on the program, which we're yarning. But
thank you for having me.
Going to be a lot more because you're stepping in regarding this conversation. We had cousin Rob Hollingsworth, big shout outs, PLO, Police Liaison Officer. But he took off down south, doing some work down south. And he owes me lunch, so I think that's why he took off. But I know where he lives. But good to have you. So tell us about your role and the work that you do, and then we'll go into our conversation today about police powers.
Sure, no worries. So I, my role, I'm a first response general duties police officer stationed at Edmonton. And so we just, that's what we are, first response. So we respond to any calls for service within the community.
Sure.
Yeah, that's...
That's what you do. How long have you been in the force?
15 years.
15 years. All right, fantastic. 15 years compared to 1 year, Constable Clint, your first year?
Yeah, it's my first year.
So how are you travelling with? How long since you've been with the blue uniform?
Since the start of the year, but at Edmonton Station only last about 4 months.
4 months, okay. And originally where from?
Victoria originally, but last couple of years in Alice Springs.
Alice Springs, Victoria, okay. And what about, what did you do job-wise before the police force?
Most of my career was in the military, in the army, and then after that, mostly the jails.
All right, okay. System, yeah. So was the aspiration there to become a police officer?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a natural progression for most army people. They sort of get out as a police officer. I used working in the jails, a bit of experience, and to make that sort of step, getting back, communicating with people and...
And the goal going for Nicole's job, eh?
That's it.
There you go, Nicole. Watch your back there, sister.
You're right.
All right. Now, listen, the topic today are police powers. Police powers in Queensland can be confusing and frightening for people. I think when a blue uniform turns up at the door, a cop car turns up at the house, people go straight away, well, mode, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Start to think in their mind, what have I done? It's about communication, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're there to protect and serve.
Yes.
So let's enlighten our listeners out there about police powers, please, sister.
Well, the biggest thing that we'd like for the people, members in the community to know is that we are, yes, we've got a job to do and we're here to do that job, but we will do that job, we want to do it kindly. You know, we don't want to be upsetting anyone, making anyone aggressive or anything like that. And it's something that goes...
Everybody's got a right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So people can get very emotional when police arrive, which is understandable and that's fine. We just need to remember that if you do get that way, just sort of calm down, let police just quickly explain why we're there, yes. And that should alleviate a lot of questions, a lot of emotions, and speed things up a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're going to a resident, you're there to engage with an individual or a group of people. And what you're there for is to let them know why you're there and who you're looking for.
Yep. So okay. police are obligated to give, so if I turn up at your place, I'm obligated to tell you my name, rank, registration number and the station I'm attached to and the reason why I'm there.
Okay.
So that's what needs to be communicated straight away. And then that in that quick, you know, my name is blah, blah, I'm from here and all of that. And then if your questions are still unanswered, which a lot of people are still wondering why police are there.
Well, they're forgetting your name in your station because they're thinking, what are you here for?
The point why you're here. Yes. And then you can still ask them, but if you don't understand or anything, and we will explain. Mm-hmm. We will tell them. Okay. We will make everyone aware of why we're there.
Have you got the right to go into the house?
Yes, under certain circumstances, we do. We don't need a warrant. If we suspect that there is, say, there's evidence to the commission of an offence in a house, or there is a person in there who is named in a warrant to be arrested, or there's a person in there who is to be arrested in relation to other offences, we can enter without the...
So if you ask, is this individual here, and they say the individual's not... You got a result. Well, I need to go in and have a look.
Yeah, we can still go in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that
so
right?
with or without the consent.
Sure. But you're trying to make a smooth transition.
We want a smooth. Yeah, we want a smooth. We want it to be smooth for everyone. Mm. It's not nice having unfamiliar people in your home. We understand that.
Sure.
However, if depending on the situation, it can be quite prickly.
Yep.
Depending on what has occurred prior, we don't always have the time to...
explain, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the individual you're looking for has probably got a fair idea why you're here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then owe up to it, step forward without upsetting the household.
Yes,
making things more difficult.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. So have you been in a situation yet, 4 months on the job there,
yeah,
Clint?
Definitely comes up daily.
And so most people, 90% of them, are in panic mode at first.
I wouldn't say in panic mode. I'd just say it's...
Bewildered?
Yeah, it's just different. It's different talking to police.
Yeah.
They're not used to it.
Especially at my front door.
Yeah.
What
That's
are you
right.
doing
yeah.
here?
Yeah. No one expects it. I think, yeah, as Nicole said, we're there usually to investigate what's happened. We've had a small snapshot of a picture and we're trying to build that bigger picture, actually find out what's going on.
Exactly.
I think people think when they're talking to police, they're accused of something or they've done something wrong. It's not always the case. We're just trying to find out.
Well, they could be a witness or something, or someone said they were there at the party or whatever case that you're, whatever you're investigating.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that as well, you know. Like I said, I suppose a smile on your dial, wearing that with your uniform, that helps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to keep that calmness in regard to the conversation. So let's talk about the... Well, continuation. Well, you're there for a reason, but you're not there to judge the person in that sense.
No.
Mainly you're sent by the law or by the courts, is that right? You're sent by the courts?
Well,
or
we're sent
your
to investigate
seniors have
some,
said,
yeah.
Okay.
So something's occurred, something in the community's occurred, or someone's made a complaint, or say, for example, someone's been assaulted and they've made a complaint and it's led us to someone's address or to someone, then we just follow the
perpetrator
trail.
Or the victim, doesn't matter. You're
either
there to talk either way. You're going there to converse.
You know.
To get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, so, and if it's a victim, let's hope that they're wanting to... Because we need them to engage with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you take the person with you? Is that what you're looking for? Is that like an arrest? They don't need to... You don't take them with you, not unless...
No.
There
no.
is an arrest
not
going
unless
on.
Unless there's a reason to. Yeah.
No. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah. Can you come into the police station?
You can.
You can say that.
You can...
And they can refuse?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep, you have the right to refuse.
Yep.
However, if we are there to arrest you, then...
No ifs or buts.
Yeah, you've got to come.
With us. Sorry, you've got to come with us. So we can make this easy?
Yes.
Do it the easy way or the hard way?
Well, there's two ways. You can be voluntary come with police, which a lot of people do. It's great.
Yes.
And it's a lot of an easier process.
Are we talking about a handcuff then?
Not always.
No, not always. Okay.
Not always.
But if you're a bit agitated and you're forceful or raising your voice and looking a bit angry, then...
Yeah, we don't, which is what we want to avoid.
And then
everyone.
Regarding handcuff, can you kindly turn around so I need to put these cuffs on you?
Yeah.
People accommodate, that's
yeah,
all fine.
Yeah, people do. Yeah, yeah sure, a lot of exactly. people do. And it is actually surprising where people are, when we just have a quiet little chat to them away from the rest of the family or the home,
yeah.
they're like, oh, yeah, okay, no worry. Okay, well, because they didn't know, you see.
Sure,
so we
that
have
could
a little,
be the case, yeah, yeah.
You know, we have to enlighten them and let them know what's going on. Mm. And then we'll just, and when we explain the process to them, it puts people at ease. Okay, let's go get this over and done with.
But the individual's always mostly over 18. So
yes.
you're having that conversation with that individual and it's a private conversation. So you don't have to let anybody else know
no.
in the house
no.
what the reason why you're here and that's why right. you're taking this individual.
Yep. That's right. right.
Yep, sure. If that individual wants to speak up about it, that's up to him. If you yep. have to let his brother know or his wife know or his mother knows, then that's fine. That's his call, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. So there is in regarding police powers. So we all got a right. You're doing your job. You're sent there for a reason, and the individual should know what. Well, wouldn't virtually know what the reason is.
Mm.
And if they don't know, you're there to explain that without any complications. What about legal support? The individual needs legal support. What do you reckon we do there, Clint?
We've got Legal Aid Queensland.
Okay.
So. If we're talking to anyone, everyone has the right for legal support. So
yep.
you can get that through Legal Aid Queensland. And also ATSLS is another one.
We're more about there. ATSLS, yes.
And the Community Legal Service within your area. So
sure. So when you come into the house, they can make that phone call there and then?
Yeah.
Or, yeah?
And it is everyone's... It's in the law, like in the legislation, that everyone has... That's a part of people's rights
mm.
to contact... a support person, a legal representative.
Sure.
So, you know.
But if they're going with you in the police car to the station, they can make the phone call at the station?
Yes. Because
you're not standing at the door waiting for them to get on their mobile and make that phone call. Either way?
It's usually done at the station.
At the station, yeah,
yeah
sure.
Yeah.
So there's your right. So you've got a right to have legal advice, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, everyone has, every mm. single person
of
has
course.
That right, yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. Look, a very important conversation in regards to the panic station when we see the blue uniforms come to our door. And can I ask about the lights? Are the lights always on, the blue, red
no,
lights?
No, that's
admit?
TV.
That's TV stuff, you know, because I see something like, and especially, at night time, the lights are on, you know. They're the strong lights.
Yeah,
they light
they
up
are.
The whole street, don't they?
If you look
yeah.
at them, they're
because I've seen them down the road. I just want to put that across the airways here.
Down
the road I've seen them, yeah. Not at my house. But what I'm saying,
they are bright.
They are bright, big time.
But yeah, no, remember that Shea Blue Heelers, how you see all those brake pads lock up at just about every seat? We don't do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right, fantastic. Oh, look, a very important conversation. Thank you for sharing and just about communication, protect and serve. And for people out there who may not like the police, when you're in trouble, who do you call?
Just be kind.
But who do you call?
Yeah.
The police.
Yeah.
But just be kind.
That's all it is.
Human being doing your job and there it is, protect and serve.
That's
okay.
it, yeah.
And if you get agitated or get angry or frustrated, and if you think before you speak, think before you act, is what Dad always taught me.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean? And you will reciprocate or return the same sort of attitude, yeah?
Yes.
Good. All right, Senior Nicole O'Rourke, thank you very much, and Constable Clint.
Thank
great
you.
Yarn. We try yarning. All the best to you. Say hello to the guys and girls at
will
Edmonton.
Do. Thank you for having us again.
And we'll see you next week, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
For sure.
Take care. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. A beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls from the blue uniform, Edmonton Police, that segment there, Which Way Yarning, and proudly sponsored by Bocconi, Brinsmead and Edmonton IGA. Give us a box of fruit here at Mumma Bipper Media. And police powers, and police powers in Queensland can be confusing and frightening for people, especially when police are at the front door of your home or searching your home or even searching you. There's a lot of myth in the community as to what police can and can't do and what they do and do not need a warrant for. So there's a conversation, just getting educated on the situation. That's what it is all about. Just ask the question with a nice tone, a smile on your dial, and look, it should be all good. But you, the individual, know if you're in trouble, then you should know what's going on, so to speak, you know what I mean? And they say, you made your bed, you sleep in it. But which way? Make sure that's good a bed you sleep in. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
You know about Glen Rowan, 'cause you had a job to do. You know about Urella, you were needed up there too. You mounted with the troopers in their uniform of blue.
never mention, and your art is never slack. Walk proud and tall among them all, you gentleman of black. 'Cause no one knows this country any better than you. For only you can tell if someone passed this way you see. No rugged land nor desert sand could hide the mystery. So warrior, my brother, I'm forever proud of you. And your art is never slack. Walk proud and tall among them all, you gentleman of black. 'Cause no one knows this country any better than you do. Black cracker,
on your mob, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Have you saying yarn up strong, new mob? Now I'm going to catch up a yarn. Have a senior researcher, Aaron Ursig, Telethon Kids, the Fathering Project. Aaron's online. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sorry, just confirming your surname there, please.
Ursig.
Thank you very much. Running these teeth and for somebody else. My apologies there.
That's all right. Most people get that one wrong.
Look, thank you for coming to the project, to the conversation, talking about the Fathering Project in regards to our fathers out there, and they are part of the pregnancy. They're part of the birth. They're part of the child, bringing a child into onto planet Earth, but sometimes neglected in a way. Would that be a fair comment?
That is a fair comment. Often a lot of the programs that are being run are actually targeted to families in general or to mothers. And of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that fathers feel welcome to those events or those courses and so forth. So we're finding that fathers do really feel left out of those sorts of groups and programs that are targeting families.
Well, we as First Nation people, we sick of singing that song, The Gap. Yeah, The Gap, there is a gap there when we're talking about this particular topic, but we need to close the gap, build a bridge, so to speak, yes?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we're finding that with the research, that even with the research, there's very little research been done around the globe around fathers, and that a lot of the research is done of families in general or looking at mothers. But now we're trying to actually, you know, fill that void as well with the Fathering Project, to look at fathers specifically and the impact that they can have on their children, because it's immense. Fathers are a powerful influence on their children's
yes.
lives and on the outcomes for the future.
Well, especially when talking about the early stages of a child, you know, both mother and father at the table, to build a strong foundation, so to speak, so the child can build their life upon, yeah?
Absolutely. You know, mothers also have a significant influence on their children's outcomes. But when you put them together, you know, fathers have a unique and quite different role to the mother. And you put them together, and that's where you can build really strong families and a strong community.
The other part of the research is impact on fathers on a impact of a father on a child's education.
Yes, powerful. You know, when fathers actually encourage their children in education and show that they really respect education and see it as a really positive thing, that has a really strong influence on how children engage with the school, how they engage in their learning. You know, and the fathers don't have to necessarily be able to help with all the schoolwork or help them with homework and things like that. It's just the attitude. It's more of an engagement and a good attitude towards school. You know, and that's hard. Sometimes, you know, as parents, we may not have had a positive experience ourselves, but we've got to allow our children to really have a go and have a positive attitude towards their own schooling.
Exactly, yes. And the impact of a father's on a child's mental health as well, that's very important. And with father being at the table, that helps in regard to the mental status, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Fathers can have a really powerful influence on their children's mental health. You know, and a really interesting point is that even just the way fathers play with their children, fathers actually can help children to, you know, take risks and to have a go at new things, because fathers, when they play with their children, they tend to be a bit more rough and tumble, they tend to be, they tend to explore more, and they tend to get their kids out being really active. And play is a very important part of young children's development. So even by getting out and just playing with your kids and having fun with them, you have a powerful influence on their development and their mental health components going forward.
And that doesn't matter if the child is a boy or girl. Just that input that the father brings to the table is powerful, is it not?
Oh, yes, girls and boys. You know, particularly with the warmth and the care of a father involved and engaged in their lives, really helps lift their self-esteem, lifts their mental health and their feelings of well-being in general.
And I think we also have to look at the other side of the coin. Great to have the father at the table, but when we're talking about our young boys, that the father also needs to know that line and not stepping over it in regard to, you know, stop your crying, boys don't cry, and all this sort of stuff as well. I mean, that could be a negative connotation, yeah?
Yeah, it can be. I guess it's that warmth and understanding. So, you know, and some fathers have been brought up in an environment themselves where they've, you know, in early days that was sort of the mainstream, I guess, attitude.
Yeah.
If they can just adapt that, what they need to have is a firmness but a warmth with their boys and help to engage them in conversation. Obviously, you know, stories and good conversation and, you know, as you say, having a yarn with the boys is teaching them their culture of being a young man, but at the same time having that warmth and openness.
Yeah, and a bit of sensitivity there as well to life, fellow man, fellow woman, you know, good and bad, and having a tear in your eye is a good thing anyway. It's human, and it shows that you're a real person, all the above.
Absolutely. And I guess the other thing about being, you know, the dads engaging with their kids like that is actually really good for the dad's mental health as well. You know, it really helps them to lift their own self-esteem and their mental health and well-being when they feel really engaged with the family and that their family, that their children really need them.
Yes.
It gives them a sense of purpose and a feeling of connectedness that is one of the, you know, the real strengths when it comes to protecting your own mental health.
Yes, yeah. Very important conversation. Look, I think it's great to all our beautiful, deadly men out there. Stand up, be strong and be involved by all means, but also all those different organisations and the nursing and what have you, the doctors, and what the men need to be at the table as well in regard to the basics of bringing up a child, yes?
Absolutely. Yes, they do need to be involved and engaged. And at the same time, for all of those people that are in those groups, fathers do like to be invited. They like to know that they're actually engaged and that they, but that they're welcome to come to those groups.
Yes.
Because often when you're running parent workshops, or where, you know, educational pieces, they don't necessarily feel welcome to them unless you actually invite them as well.
Because sometimes it's mainly all women and then it's a girl's chit-chatter sort of thing, you know what I mean? But the doors are open for the brothers to be at the table and come on in is what you're saying.
Yes, and that's why with the Fathering Project, you know, the dad's groups that we run are run by dads for dads because we're creating that atmosphere where dads can feel safe and included, and it's a positive environment where they can share together.
Sure.
So they learn off each other as well, and they also learn by doing things with their kids. So it's not so much as a lecture style, it's more of an engagement with each other.
Mm.
Because often dads learn the most when they're actually sharing their experiences together. And just having being able to have a talk about it and talk about what their kids are doing and share what they do together.
Mm.
So that's why we're really encouraging that approach as well. You know, for dads, you know, run by dads, for dads.
Well, exactly. And the fathering project never ends. We are fathers for life, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And so valuable. And I guess that's what the fathering project is trying to do most of all, is to say to dads, you know, you are important. You really do matter to the kids.
Mm.
And we want you to know that and feel good about it.
Very important discussion. Thank you so very much, Erin. All the best to you and your team, your family. Look, stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, Erin.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Adela Yane, Erin Ersek, her name is. She's with a senior researcher, Telethon Kids, and also the Fathering Project, which was the topic there we've had in regard to our beautiful men out there. You are part of the birth. You are part of a child or children's life. Yes, you are. Very important. It's 50-50 jobs. So, yeah, do your bit and, look, step up. And also to the message also going out to health organisations and companies, private or government, have that door open, of course, and let our brothers in there and be a part of the birth and the raising of a child. Very important. Have you say your mob yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. The Murray is the bully one. Trevor Tim, 20 Trev. Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416.
But I'll be going back again someday. If you see me on the track, way out west of Rabbit Flat, you'll know it's time that I'm a-gonna stay. Well, if you're ever hanging round in Fitzroy Crossing, when the people all come in at rodeo time, be in from Nookumba, Derby Luma, Christmas Creek, and you can bet the beer is flowing in the bar. Well, I can see that Fitzroy River in my mind, and I'm thinking about all of those good times, and I remember just how sad I was the day I had to leave, but I knew that I'd be back again sometime. Remember me to all the people there, and thank them for the way they treated us every day. Well, I hope I can do the same for them somewhere, 'cause I can see that Fitzroy River in my mind, and I'm thinking about all of those good times, and I remember just how sad I was the day I had to leave, but I knew that I'd be back again sometime. Yes, I knew.
Yes, I left my heart behind in Fitzroy Crossing. And the memory's just too strong now to ignore. If you see me on the track, I won't be stopping at Rabbit Flat. You'll know it's town that I'll be heading for. 'Cause I can see that Fitzroy River in my mind. And I'm thinking about all of those good times. And I remember just how sad I was the day I had to leave. But I knew that I'd be back again sometime. Yes, I knew that I'd be back again sometime.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Echo
Yeah, Too Early Rosetta, the Pigroom Brothers, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say you might be after squeezing the yarn. I've got about 7 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your say and yarn up strong. Otherwise, you can check out our Facebook page, BBM 98.7 FM, and text as well. You can give us a text, 045-714-0550, and that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I won't be answering the text 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'll answer when I get to it. Too Deadly Mob, Yarn Armstrong here on the Deadly Program, National Talk Black. And don't forget, we are in the pandemic. There is a pandemic about, so do not get laxy-daisy, especially people up here in far north Queensland. Across the nation, we just need to abide by the rules. Thinking of our mob down there at New South Wales and Victoria especially, the pandemic here, there's no vaccine for the virus, so we've only got the rules in the base, but we cannot get too complacent, you mob. Wash your hand constantly and teach the kids to do the same thing. Wear a mask if you're feeling that way inclined and feeling a bit sick, then go and get tested. And there's always drive-through as well to get tested. You don't have to go into the doctor if you're feeling that way inclined. Do what you need to do. Keep yourself protected by all means. And like I said, we only got the rules that are in place, so do abide by them. All right, you might stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Just playing around and having fun. But most of all, I'm proud, I'm glad. Well, I'm proud to be young, I'm a man. I give you a chance of knowing I'm your man. They passed on to me your knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, proud young Arnhem Land man, and that's our really good band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off you, mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll be yarning soon here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And we'll be yarning soon. Stay safe as well. Abide by the rules, you mob. Too deadly.
Goulburn Jails, a lonesome place at night. Yes, Goulburn Jails, a lonesome place at night. The moonlight turns these dirty walls to white. Dreaming every day of a love so far away. Goulburn Jails, a lonesome place at night. It's a bitter day of sorrow when you drink that cup of shame. You're branded with a number. They take away your name. At night, you are surrounded. Four dirty whitewashed walls. You listen to to the water as he makes his nightly calls. Maybe you are dreaming of the one you love so well, when suddenly you're awakened by the ringing of a bell. You rise and fold your blankets as you listen to each chime. It's a bitter sad reflection for my boy, you're doing time. Yet Goulburn Jail's a lonesome place at night. The moonlight turned these dirty walls to white. Dreaming every day of a love so far away. Yes, Goulburn Jail's a lonesome place at night.